KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
It's clear and 55 degrees in Atlantic. We look for skies to be partly cloudy here today with a high of 87. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. In local news, the Atlantic Parks and Recreation Department's Board of Directors received some good news Monday evening. Director Seth Stasselm said that Howery Construction began work Monday on the Lake No. 2 Trail project.
We're pretty lucky to get this company to do. They know their stuff and they'll get it in and do it pretty fast. Their timeline was looking this week to do some grading and actually start paving on October 3rd, and they'll have it done that week.
Howery Construction was the company that did the Lake No. 1 trail. The Lake No. 2 trail is the next major step for the connector trail.
It goes all the way from where the connecting trail out is all the way to the breach, and then on the other side of Lake 2 from where the existing trail is all the way through that kind of peninsula between the lake and the river. So they're gonna hop on it, and it's gonna be a really fast project.
The project was made possible through a Transportation Alternatives Program, or TAP, grant from the state, along with $26,800 from the City of Atlantic. It was initially thought to cost about $134,000, but last month's bid came in well below that. Howery's bid was $109,000. In other business, Stasselm said the Cass County Forest Health Walk and Emerald Ash Borer Informational Meeting will be held October 3rd.
I'm one of the hosts for it. Along with Lindsay Barney, the DNR district forester, gonna do a forest walk around Sunnyside Park. Since we have nearly 1,000 trees in the park and a good variety of trees, we're gonna take a look at different trees and their different health and things to upkeep and things to look for in the trees. And we're also gonna talk about Emerald Ash Borer too. A lot of questions have arisen. We're lucky in Atlantic, we haven't had it yet. We had two suspect trees that we took a look over at City Park and on 7th and Locust, and they both came up negative, which was good.
The meeting takes place at the Cass County Community Center from 3 until 7 p.m., and again, it's on October 3rd. For more information, you can call 243-1132. Two women were arrested on theft charges Monday in Creston. Authorities say 23-year-old Haley Vandell of Creston was arrested Monday afternoon for theft in the fourth degree. Vandell was later released from the Union County Jail on $300 bond. And late Monday night, 29-year-old Amber Buchanan of Creston was arrested for theft in the fourth degree. She was later released on $1,000 bond. The Union County Sheriff's Office reports yesterday the arrest on Friday of 19-year-old Megan Riley Walker, or Wilker, that is, of Orient. Wilker was arrested in Clark County on a Union County warrant for failure to appear on an original charge of possession of controlled substance methamphetamine. Wilker was later released on $1,000 bond. And 29-year-old Shane Christian Peacock of Winterset was arrested Sunday morning at the Union County Law Enforcement Center on a Union County warrant for failure to appear on child support matters. Peacock was being held in the Union County Jail on $2,000 bond. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office reports a search warrant executed last week at a residence in Walnut resulted in an arrest. Deputies searched a home at 708 Pacific Street on September 14th and located marijuana and methamphetamine consistent with the delivery and sales of a controlled substance. 39-year-old Daniel Patrick Campbell of Walnut was subsequently arrested for possession of meth and marijuana with the intent to deliver. He was transported to the Pottawatomie County Jail and bond was set at $50,000. A preliminary hearing in Campbell's case was set for September 23rd. The Griswold School District's Facilities Committee Monday evening shared their first update on options for the current facilities. Officials say the committee's original mission was to look at three options. They shared with the board that they would like to focus on two possibilities and table option B at this time. Specifically, option B was to consolidate the elementary buildings into one building, either Lewis or Elliott. Their focus is now shifting into looking at cost savings of the remaining two options and their academic, financial, and community benefits, determining which option would best serve the district and their students. The committee will meet again this Thursday evening and will continue to meet, reporting to the board again in November. An open forum meeting will then take place with the board in January. Governor Terry Branstad says he has some concerns about a proposal from Iowa State University's president that juniors and seniors pay higher tuition than freshmen and sophomores.
A lot of our students are starting out at the community colleges because they can't afford to go to the state universities. So we don't want to penalize them by having a higher tuition for them in their junior and senior years.
ISU President Stephen Leith unveiled the two-tiered tuition proposal last Wednesday during a speech on the Ames campus. Branstad first heard of the idea over the weekend after news reports outlined Leith's idea. Branstad says the board that governs Iowa State needs to carefully study the proposal to ensure ISU doesn't price itself out of the market for community college transfers.
We already know that a lot of students are starting into community colleges, and I think one of the reasons for that is the cost.
8 years ago, half of Iowa State's operating budget was financed by students through tuition payments. The other half was state taxpayer support. Leith said the state finances about 30% of Iowa State's general operations now, and students pay another 70% in tuition. Branstad says he doesn't know what the right mix should be in terms of state funding.
We need to make sure that it's accessible to Iowa students and that it's affordable. And if you look at Iowa State University, they've been extremely successful. They now have a record enrollment of over 36,000 students, and a growing share of Iowa students have chosen to go to Iowa State University.
The governor says Iowa State's challenge now is overcrowding.
But it also says something about the fact that Iowa students and their families see, because they have programs like engineering and agriculture that are much in demand, they're a leader in STEM education. Those things are benefited Iowa State University.
On a related topic, Branstad is praising members of the Board of Regents for saying that they'll start coming up with 2 years' worth of tuition recommendations at a time. Branstad says that will help students and their families better budget for the cost of going to Iowa State, the University of Iowa, and University of Northern Iowa. And a survey from the Iowa Realtors Land Institute shows farmland values dropped almost 9% from a year ago. Iowa's average farmland value is now just under $6,500 an acre. In September of 2013, the average acre was worth $8,750. Kyle Hansen at Hertz Real Estate Services in Nevada said the decrease is tied to lower commodity prices.
We were down 8.7% on a state average for average quality tillable ground. A lot of that is just a continuation of what we've seen with the downward pressure due to the lower commodity prices, you know, extended lower commodity prices. It's really a continuation of what we've seen in the last 12 to 18 months.
Hansen says their projections indicate farmland values will continue on the downswing for perhaps another year.
With the commodity prices staying low, and they appear like we're going to have a great crop this year, that would continue to keep prices low. We would anticipate potentially an additional softening over the next 6 to maybe 12 months, just because of the lower revenue that is being able to be generated by the farmers.
He says the strongest farmland values in Iowa are still in the Northwest, where there was a 3% decrease.
Northwest Iowa is still the highest priced farm ground in the state of Iowa. They have a lot of strength in the ethanol industry, as well as in the years past, the higher revenue generated from livestock, primarily the beef cattle that are there.
He says the largest drop in farmland values was in southwest Iowa. The news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.